Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today for your precious word. We're going to be through many verses of Scripture today. I just ask, dear Lord, that you'll give us your power and give us your strength, that we may speak it clearly, that we'll hear it clearly. Give us ears to hear your truth today. And dear Father, please, that it not just come to our ears and end up in our mind, but it'll come down to our hearts and it'll touch our hearts today. It'll change our lives. Always, every time that we open your word and begin to study it and to enjoy it, it should touch our hearts and change us and make us more like you. And as we look now, dear Lord, at David's life here and how David comes before you, it's a great lesson for each one of us. So please, bring those that are lost to the cross today, that they may know you as their Savior, that they may walk each day in the joy of your salvation. And please, dear Lord, that as we are saved and we walk each day growing closer to you, being strengthened by you, learning and gaining great wisdom from you each and every day, please, dear Lord, just strengthen us, guide and lead us, save the lost. It's a great work needs to be done today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We looked at, last week, we kind of titled the message, Let Us Prepare Our Hearts Before a Righteous God. And today, let's look down into the sinful heart of man, so we can see really what we're made of. And that's what David is doing here in this Psalm 51, in this 5th through the 10th verse, as we've kind of divided it there. You look at your scripture, and it's wonderful. When I'm studying, you read it enough times that you kind of you see things. And look at the 5th and 6th verse begins with the word behold. Lo is another word that would be used there. So as let's see what David has to say. Let's see what David knows. Let's see what David has learned. And so we have that in the 5th verse, the 6th verse, and then in the 7th verse, purge me. Oh, to be purged is to be cleansed, to be purified. And so the 7th verse, the word begins with the word purge. And then in the 8th verse, make. All right, take this old earthen vessel and make something of it. And then in verse 9, because of the old flesh, David says, hide your face from my sin, please. And then in verse 10, that wonderful word, create. We need to bring the Creator to us that we can be made new, because we need a new work done. And so if you just circle those first words of each one of those verses, it holds within itself a beautiful message. Once again, in Luke 18:13, the publican stands afar off and said, Be merciful to me, a sinner. Question comes here as we look at this 5th verse in Psalms 51. Is sin something that is deep, or is just something that's on the surface? Is it something that you can just, go and wash your hands or wash your clothes or get a new hairdo and all these things? Can you do those things and will that take care of this little problem? Well, most of the world believes it does. It believes that they can come and attend church or just do good works. That's an outward character. That's an outward thought. That's an outward thing. Well, David here is going to help us see that it is much deeper than that. It is very deep. It goes all the way down into our very depths of our soul. And this fifth verse says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We have several verses of Scripture here. Job, in Job 14:4, "Who can bring a clean thing out of unclean?" And then he answers that question and says, "Not one. Nothing can be taken that is unclean and be made clean." And then in John chapter 3, verse 6, when Jesus is with Nicodemus, he makes it very clear that which is born of flesh is flesh. You got flesh that's corrupted, flesh that's dying. There's nothing we can do. It's flesh. The psalmist proclaims in Psalms 58:3, "The wicked are entangled from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." If you folks have had, children, you're lying to yourself if you think that little child is perfect. Now, you may be of the opinion that your child is perfect, but we need to look a little closer. And I promise you that my children and our grandchildren are far cry from perfect. They will try to connive and sneak and lie their way out of any situation that they're caught in. It's something that's in their heart. They have to be taught not to do that, because that's a natural case. That's very natural. You know, I've shared with you before, something occurred coming to study one night with one of my grandchildren. And, you know, "Why did you do that?" "I didn't do that. Her cousin did it." Well, that was fine, except for her cousin was 30 miles away. If you're going to blame somebody, at least blame somebody that's present, you know. But you see, she had to be quick about the lie, you know. And that's just, that's natural. And it's, Psalm 58 tells us that very clearly. You know, David knew where the problem come from. David understood, "I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David understood, and go back to Genesis 2:17, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." All right, so that was a statement God had made to Adam and Eve. And then in Genesis 3:6, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit." Now, has anything changed today? Look at those things for something that would help us be smarter, be wise. How are we with food? We love food. How about things that our eyes see? How much of this world would you want? How many things of this world? Think of the things that you have in your home or the things that you enjoy. How many of them would you enjoy if you couldn't see them? How many things would you want if you couldn't see them? You know, would you care if your vehicle was all rusted out as long as it got you where you were going? Would you care? You think about all the things that our eyes do to us. We see things and then we want them. And so, and nothing has changed, you know. Good for food. That old devil, he went for every side of Eve's weaknesses. And she took of the fruit. Now, because of this, we are plunged, all the human race is plunged into sin. And we have sin as we're born in it. Now, let's straighten some things out here, because you may think that David was an illegitimate child by reading that fifth verse if you didn't, you know, go a little further. He was not. You need to understand that David was born with had a mother, had a father. They were married. He had a home, and so David was properly brought into the world. If that's a good statement, and also being of the race and of flesh and of having sin in our hearts when we're born, we naturally try to talk, work, or prove our way out of something we have done that was bad. We try to cover it. We try to explain it away. There's a lot of things we try to do. David is not doing that here. David is not making an excuse for why he did what he did because he was conceived in sin. Boy, the psychiatrist and the psychologist would be out of business, wouldn't they? Because that's the first thing that they go to. They go back to see what your mother or father did to you. You know, something that happened during your life. That explains why you're this way. David could have used that excuse. It would have been a true excuse. I am a sinner. I was brought into this world. I was conceived in sin. So why, you know, sure, why shouldn't I have done that? You know, that's the way I am. That's me. But he didn't. He did not use that as an excuse. He makes a statement. David was confessing his actions. He was not justifying them in some way or another. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner by nature. I was born in it. That's what David's saying. God, that's me. A poor, pathetic sinner. That's David. That's the condition of his heart. Broken. Broken. Oh, what a way to come before our God. We have some verses of Scripture here that help us to see what David is stating here. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's what David said. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 and 22, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. What a promise. This is a hope. This is knowledge that David owns. David knows that his Savior has paid for him. David knows what it is to be a believer in Jesus Christ. David knows what it means to be set free from this bondage and this burden of sin. And so we come in and use these New Testament Scripture verses, but we know that to be David's heart. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to begin reading with the first verse down through the fifth. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's what David is speaking of here. He was dead in his trespasses and sins, but he knows his Savior. Verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We know that he is talking about the devil himself as he leads us around. If we do not know the Lord Jesus, we have no choice if we're not saved. But the day we become saved, we have a choice. Verse 3, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. What a beautiful promise. What a wonderful scripture. David understood his problem, and also David understood the answer. On to verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The sin is deep. The cleaning must be equally as deep. The cleansing. True holiness in a believer must begin with this down deep cleaning. We need to start at the heart and work our way out. Man in the flesh, what did Adam and Eve do when they ate of the forbidden fruit? They did not deal with the problem that was in their heart. They went and made coats of leaves. They covered. You see, that's all man can do. That's all we can do is cover it. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part that thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And so the work must begin in our hearts. I've shared with you years ago, I first got saved. Why, I love telling people about the Lord Jesus, still do. But I've learned that when someone has a doctrinal question, a question about the Word of God, my goal was to answer that question. I would search and I would search and I would find the answer and I would take the answer only to find that there was another and another and another and another. And finally the Lord showed me, Larry, they don't understand because they still have a wicked heart. They need salvation. So, my friend, please don't take time to straighten this denomination out or that denomination out with all your doctrinal wisdom. Tell them about Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to change their heart. When they find Jesus, then the Holy Spirit inside, in the center of the heart, right at the core, can begin to make a work and change a life. But not until then. If you take the example of an old apple and you get right to the core and the core is rotten, well, that's us. Our core is rotten. We need to have that replaced. And when you come by faith to Jesus, it is. So, the only hope that anyone has, you and me, anyone, is to tell them of the saving grace, the saving power of Jesus. What takes place on the cross of Calvary? When they ask you a question, says, that's a good question, but please, let me tell you about my Savior, because that's what you need to know today. You need to know my Savior. And so begin to tell them about the Lord Jesus. And then can come the other. This scripture here also not only kind of tells us where the problem is, but it also tells us what God knows. Let's look at that again. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, all right? And in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. God can see the outside, but God can also see the heart. And He looks right down in to that old core. He looks right down in there and He can see it clear as can be. He can see that that old lost person is lost, even though they stand in the pulpit and preach. God can see that the heart of one that is sick and needs God's help. God can see right into the heart that child is His, and He's caring for him because he has come by faith to the Lord Jesus. God can look right in to the heart, to the soul, into the mind, and to the outside. God sees our inside as clearly as He sees the out. Nothing is hidden from Him. So we look at this verse of Scripture, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." I know that's what you want, Lord, and I know you can see what's there. "And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Please, dear God, place into my heart the joy. Place into my heart your salvation. And let all else leave. That no matter what the tribulation, no matter what the trial, oh, dear Lord, you're in my heart. No matter how much I have wronged you, dear Lord, make it right in my heart and begin a work that comes out from there. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, as he is, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, brought all this together, says, "Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men?" What that scripture's saying, he can see all that's in hell. Destruction is another word here. The word destruction is another word for the devil. He can see the devil and right where he's at. You know, we love that in Job every time that he comes before the group and God asks him, you know, "Where have you been?" "Oh, to and fro, here and there." You know, that liar wouldn't tell the truth. And we have here our God can see into the place of torment. Our God can see the place and what the old devil's up to. If he can see all that, don't think for a minute that he can't see into your heart and mine to see what's there. Job chapter 28, verse 28 says, "Fear the Lord, that is wisdom." In Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Fear. To fear our God, to know our God, to recognize who He is and what He should be to us, what we should be to Him. "And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom," was David's cry. It's what he wanted. Verse 7, we've gotten through the two beholds now, and now we're to the word purge in chapter 7. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Purge me. To purge. To make clean. I have three verses of Scripture, three areas of Scripture that we're going for, actually, that we're going to look at and help us to see this cleansing process. Purge me with hyssop. This hyssop was a little scrub affair that they used in applying the purification. It was a form of purification. It was like a sponge, like a scrub brush. And so please purge me with hyssop. Purify me. Make me clean with this, and I shall be clean, the Scripture says. So let's go to Exodus chapter 12. You know your Bibles. You know where we're going. We're going back to the Passover. Exodus chapter 12. We're going to read from verse 21 down through verse 23. And then Moses called to all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. We had the application of the hyssop, the use of the hyssop, the application of the blood. And again, this was the first Passover. They were given strict instructions on how to carry out this Passover. It was the final plague in the land of Egypt before the Pharaoh dismissed Moses and the nation of Israel to go. And the Pharaoh just refused, even though he had all the plagues and the land looked like the worst hurricane ever hit it. There was nothing that was left undone. And yet there was one thing left, and that was his body. And so every firstborn will die. And God gave the nation of Israel much of the plagues the nation of Israel was exempt from. They lived in Goshen. They didn't have the plagues. But this plague would come upon them. This was one that God gave them specific instructions. And he told them to go and to kill this lamb. Perfect lamb. What a picture of Christ. To catch the blood, to take the hyssop and wipe the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, and then go in the house. If you left that house that night and you were firstborn, you would die. You see, it's important that we listen to all the instructions God gives us. And he gave them great instructions at length, and they were to follow them to the letter. And if they were in the house, stayed in the house, then this death angel would pass over because he would see the blood. What a picture. What a beautiful picture that we have. And again, we have now back here in Psalms. And so when David says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean, he's talking about the precious blood of Christ that saved the nation of Israel when it was put up on the doorpost and the lintel. And so what a beautiful picture. David understood that. David said, please, I know what's going to make me clean. It's your precious blood. That's the only thing that's going to cleanse me. So please, today that come. And David was saved. It was just David claiming the promises of salvation that he possessed, but he was wanting his heart to be made new and clean. Let's go to Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. These are wonderful stories, wonderful examples of the cleaning power and the cleansing power of our Lord, what took place on the cross. But Jesus hadn't come yet, so we have these responsibilities. This was concerning the leper. If a man had leprosy, a woman had leprosy, there was a process, and you think of lepers never being cured, never being healed. And there was some leprosy that was not contagious. They were allowed to be around people. Others, they would have to go off by themselves. Now, if this was to be one that went off by themselves, when he was found to be healed, and let's read now verse 1 of chapter 14. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. Once again, we have the hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And ye shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. So just very quickly here, what we have is the cleansing. Leprosy is an example of sin and the need to be clean. And here, why God, as he takes two goats on the Day of Atonement, here he takes two birds. And if you can see this in your mind, he takes one of the birds and puts it inside this earthen vessel. The earthen vessel always speaks of the humanity of Christ. And puts this bird in the earthen vessel, and this bird is put to death in there. His blood is caught. And then the living bird is placed in there with the hyssop and the other things, and this living bird is coated with the blood. And then the leftover here is sprinkled seven times over this leper to show the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. And then what happened to the living bird? It's left loose to go to fly away. What a picture that this is of our Lord Jesus Christ, of his saving power. It takes many things sometimes to show what Jesus himself did on the cross of Calvary to save our sin. And all this cleansing, when we speak of the hyssop, all of this cleansing, David desires. He wants to be made clean. And we look again, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. He understands the power of his Savior, and he pleads with his God. And he says, to wash me, the Scripture says. Wash me. You know, in Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. You know, we have his precious Word. And David desired to have the Word of God, to hear from him, to know he was made new, to know he was clean. Because David felt so dirty. And he desired that the power of God would come back into his life once again. Purge me, wash me, that I may be whiter than snow. Let's go to one more verse of Scripture, and then we'll close for the day. Isaiah chapter 1. Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah. Ecclesiastes in the middle there, missed it. Isaiah chapter 1. Verses 16 through 20. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. Come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Who is faithful? Who is the faithful city become a harlot? It is full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. I believe that's how David felt in his heart. once he was new, he felt the power and the strength of God. Now he doesn't. And he desires it to return. And he knows clearly the one that can return this joy to his heart. And we need to know that our God returns the joy to our heart. Our God gives us strength to walk each and every day. Just seek His will. I'm going to read the 5th, 6th, and 7th verse, and then we'll close. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, the saving power of Jesus, the knowing, the knowledge of His, the power of His precious blood. What a day to be a believer. What a day to take the great news of salvation out to a lost and dying world. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank You today that You've brought Your word before us. Some very simple lessons, but very clear lessons. I think it's better that we look at one precept, one little bit, and learn it, and then learn and hear another and learn it. Put it into our hearts, burn it into our hearts. Spirit of God that lives within us loves to hear the word and loves obedience. Now please, dear Lord, speak to all the hearts. Every one of us have need of a cleansing. Every one of us have a need of that daily. Please, that we always look to You and always know when we come with a heart of repentance that You come with a hand of forgiveness. Please speak to the hearts today. Those that are here that do not know You as their Savior, please, dear Lord, speak to hearts. Speak to their heart that they come today. They don't tarry one more day. Thank You for this wonderful time together with You, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.